The book of John's kind of special in one way that it is special. Do you guys remember back in Exodus chapter 3? If you've grown up in church or heard church stories, you'll remember this. In Exodus chapter 3, God is telling Moses that he needs to take the nation of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses is like, "But I'm not sure they're going to listen to me. You think that Israel's going to follow me?" He's like, "What about, who am I?" And God says, "Here's what you're going to do." In Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, he says, "You tell them that I am sent you." I'm like, "Well, who sent you on this mission?" "I am." It's like a proper name of the creator of the universe given to Moses. "I am." And of course, if you're like me, I'm like, "You're what? I am what?" No, "I am. Moses, I've got this." And we've seen this miracle story take place, and God used an unlikely character to get the job done. And so we enter the book of John, and did you know in the book of John, you find a whole round seven times Jesus Christ says, "I am," and then he'll tell you what he is. The first one we're going to cover today. So leading right up to Easter, we're going to cover these. And in John chapter 6, that's where we're going to be. In John chapter 6, Jesus Christ makes it really clear. And I'm just going to get this out of the way. Here's the deal. He says this. Everybody go to John chapter 6. Go to verse 35. Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst." He says it again in verse 48. Well, verse 41, he says, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." In verse 48, he says, "I am the bread of life." In verse 51, so he technically says it four times. So, guys, I am the bread of life. That's what we're going to cover today. I am, Jesus says, the bread of life. And hopefully we'll hit some good things in here, get some significance. So if you're taking notes, you're just going to have a handful of things to write down today or even mentally. First of all, Jesus is the I am. The God of Israel that said, "Moses, you're going to do this thing." You tell him, "I am sent you." So when Jesus comes on the scene and he makes it pretty clear several times that he is the I am, Jesus is God. There's people that don't believe that. But Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. We believe in the Trinity here. We believe it's a doctrine taught in the Bible. Not everybody believes this, but we believe the Bible. We believe the Bible clearly says that God, yes, in like almost three offices, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and they operate as one. Anytime you see a physical presence of God, it will be Jesus. Even in the Old Testament, look for him. You'll find him. He physically pops up. Sometimes he's called the angel of the Lord. And you do your research and you'll find out, my gosh, God incarnate, it's Jesus Christ, right? And so Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." So guys, the bread of life is a person. It's Jesus. Do you see it? That's why if you look in John chapter 6 and verse 34, as he's teaching this, in verse 34, they said, "Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore, give us this bread." Like, you know, and this is going to be significant. I'll show you in a minute. So Jesus is telling them that he's the bread of life. Like, "Yeah, we'll take some bread. Give us this bread." You know, this same thing happened back in chapter 4. It was a woman at the well. Remember, Jesus walks up to a woman at the well and he says, "Hey, give me to drink," which is an unusual story. Because even Samaritan women, like Jews, would not talk to them. So Jesus is engaging this woman in conversation, pushing back all prejudices and dealing with this lady, says, "Give me a drink." And then he begins to tell her that, you know, you drink this water, you're going to get thirsty again. He said, "But if you drink the water that I give, you'll never thirst again." And you know what she said? She says, "Give me to drink." Just like here. When he says he's the bread of life, they're like, "We'll take some of that bread." And the woman at the well said the very same thing. And you know what he told the woman at the well? She's like, "I want some of that water. I want." It took him some time and he taught some things to her. And then he just says, "Hey, ma'am." And she goes, "Yeah, I'm ready for a drink of that." And he says, "Listen, I am he. I'm not talking to you about physical water. I'm the water that quenches a thirsty soul, not just a thirsty mouth." He tells them, I am the bread of life. I do so much more than fill a belly. That's what most churches want to do today. Most churches take on social work. And it's sad because their social work overrides the spiritual work. It's never supposed to do that in a church, gang. Even though we do social work, we care about poor people and people that are hurting. And remind me afterwards about prayer, would you please? Because I just thought of that because there's two things we need to pray about. And so, mark it down. The bread is a person, man. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me take you on a little bit of a journey. What I'd like you to do is we're in John chapter 6. We're going to be here. I'm going to pop a few verses, but ultimately you can go study yourself. You can read this chapter later if you want to. But especially because of time, I want you to go back to John chapter 6, but I want you to go to verse 5. Watch what happens here. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he said, saith unto Philip, I mean, there's a ton of people here. He says, hey, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? I mean, these people's hungry. There's a whole crowd of people here. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered and said, man, 200 penny worth of bread's not sufficient for them, that everyone might even take a little. You know, several times Jesus fed, he fed 4,000 people, he fed 5,000 people, and he's just like, man, we pull all of our money together. We wouldn't even have enough there, but we can have a little bit of bread, you know? In verse 8, and one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they amongst so many? Jesus saith, make the men sit down. Guys, we know the story. Jesus takes this kid's lunch and multiplies it and feeds them all. The crazy thing about this whole story is you go down to verse 12, it says, and when they were filled, what? Like everybody was hungry? And here, take a bite. Everybody take a chunk of this, right? They were filled. And he saith unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Look at verse 13. Therefore they gathered them together, and here's a word again, they filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above them that had eaten. So two key words here, and this is how, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Hey, Jesus is the bread of life. But I want you to know when Jesus does his business, he completes it, man. Jesus fills people. This is what he does. See, in verse 7 it said, well, 200 penny worth, I don't think we have enough money to even buy bread for everybody, just to even have a little. If we pull all of our human resources together, it's not going to be enough. And gang, listen to me. I want you to get this down about Jesus being the bread of life. Human beings cannot produce enough to make men whole. To make men full. It can't be done. But if you go down to verse 26 in the same chapter, as Jesus is talking about this, him being the bread of life, look at verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. See, he fed 5,000 people over here. Now, time's moved on. Now they're clear over here, and there's a whole group of people that came after him, and Jesus told them, he called them on their bluff in verse 26 and says, I know why you guys came, because the grub was good. You guys came to be filled. That's what he said. You didn't even come for the miracles, the miraculous. You came because you know that God fills and that God feeds best, man. So mark this down. Jesus Christ fills. Colossians chapter 2, Paul wrote of this, and he said this, those that know Jesus Christ. He says, and guess what? I got a human declaration to make. I met Jesus, and now we are complete in him. You know, the human soul always longs and always lacks. Everybody's born with flesh, you know, and the flesh wants. That's why little kids always, they're always crying. They want something. And it's not always because their diaper's filled. It's because they want something to shove in their mouth. They're always hungry. They want something. And they're, and then they grow up and they get older. And then your kid is eating markers and eating crayons. And you're like, what, are you stupid? No, it's a human being. That's what we do. Anything we put in our mouths, that's what they do. And you want to know, then you get older and it just becomes, we've got mature things that we want to put inside of our mouth. That's it. We get older and you want enough money. You can't have how much sex is enough? Really? You want more. How do we become addicts? Because, man, that was good. I want more of that. It's human nature. It's the flesh. There's something in everybody that wants to be filled. Everybody wants happiness and everybody wants joy. Everybody deep down desires this. And I'm here to tell you, there's only one that can do the job. It's a person. It's the bread of life. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Romans chapter 8 says this. In our flesh, if you live after the flesh, it says you'll die. Did you know everything in the flesh leads to death? Everything. We're all born in sin and we're all going to die. We got some things in common in this room. We're all born in sin. Nobody's worse than another in this room. We're all equally born in sin. And then we're all going to die. We got that in common. We're all running the same race, the human race. And we all desire to be happy. So what we do is in our flesh. And that's why, I don't know about you, but like a big problem of mine is once I finish one meal, I'm immediately thinking of the next. Why? Are you not full? Kind of. But I won't be in an hour or two. You know, and we do the same thing. Any substance we have, I don't care whether it's money. Guys, it can be good things. It can be good things. I feel sorry for the people. I had a counseling appointment with a couple, and I remember meeting with them, and I just said, and they were living their life for their sweet little princess. And I remember just saying, hey, gang, be careful, because one day she's going to be gone. It's just how life works. She's going to go off to school, or she'll get married. She might even move states away. Just be careful living your life around her. And you know what they did? They continued to live their life around this little princess. She left. They were not happy. They didn't even know if they liked each other. That couple ended up in a divorce. So even living your life for your children, you know what's going to come? That'll come to an end. There'll be a death to that season in your life. And some people say, well, enjoy it while you can. Get after the guest. The whole point is this. If it's going to die, it's not worth living for. It don't mean that you shouldn't do things. You know, like, man, life's, you know, it's like reading Ecclesiastes, the depression book, you know. Everything's vain. Go to college, get your education just so you can get a better job, make more money. What's the point, right? Jeez, if that's all life has, you're thinking right. It's true. But there's nothing wrong with getting a good job. There's nothing wrong with making money. There's nothing wrong with loving, spouse, kids, doing all those activities that life have to offer. But the bottom line is this, and everybody will testify to this, it just doesn't fulfill. And if you think it fulfills, you just haven't been bit yet. It's biting you, man. That's what the Bible says for all of us, gang. For all of us. It's funny, you just like to think almost of crystal meth. Let's think of meth, and then you think, oh yeah, I'm going to bite her. It's really going to get her down. Yeah, I like to talk about that because it's easier to deal with that than to talk about me just living for my life that something is not as eternal or as important. And people just think, oh, Mike is very dedicated to his family. And that dedication overrides his dedication for the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what, Michael? It's going to die. It's going to die. It'll end. And then what? And then what? Gang, Jesus fills. There should have been about 10 people there just scream amen. Jesus fills. Where would you be without Jesus? I would be on a pointless road to nowhere. That's exactly where I'd be. So Jesus says this, man. He says, you know what? You guys come to be filled. Because they remember just several days before he fed all those people miraculously. But he said, you ain't even come for the miracles. You're coming to be filled. Hey, but notice this. They come to be what? Filled again. That's exactly what the flesh does for you. It's never enough. In a couple days, you'll need another filling. You'll need some more of that. Can I get some of that? It just wasn't enough. And Jesus Christ is trying to make a point that I'm the bread of life. And if you partake of me. Whew. So let me show you something else here in verse 27. John 6:27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth. By the way, if you're in verse like 22, you read this. I'm blowing a bunch of context here just because we're hurting on time. But when they come and they start talking in verse 27, Jesus says, here's what you do. Let labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. So watch what's going on here. So if you got down Jesus fills, has everybody got it down? It's not just the dentist. Jesus fills, right? Jesus fills. But here's something you need to get down. Jesus not only fills, it's a filling that lasts. It lasts. He says here in verse 27, you labor for meat that perisheth. You need to labor for something that just lasts a little longer. I love this. I want more. I'm hungry. I just want to eat and eat and eat. And Jesus says, I got meat. I got bread that'll fill, that'll last forever. Do you know what Proverbs 27:20 says? Hell and destruction, they're never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. You know, we're supposed to be Christians, so we quote things like Psalms 23. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Bull crap. You want everything. Anything that makes you happy. You're always seeking stuff to give you the next buzz, the next fulfillment. That's not what people that know the Lord, they find themselves satisfied in him because they know what fills. They know what lasts. This should be us, gang. And that's what he's telling these guys. You guys are keep living for things that perish. You know, one of my favorite verses on this subject is found in the book of Mark, if you want to go there. By the way, just to give you some encouragement, we're halfway there. Right, we're rounding second base here. Mark chapter 7, Jesus is talking about similar things here. And in Mark chapter 7, it says in verse 19, he says, let me start a little earlier than this. Look at verse 19. Well, verse 18. And he saith unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into man, it cannot defile him? Whatever's on the outside can't defile us. Because a lot of people just say, yeah, it's alcohol that's messing him up. He takes it and it defiles him. Well, here it says, well, it can't defile him. Verse 19, because why? It enters not into his heart. It enters into his belly and goeth out into the draught and purges all the meats. Right? Basically for us in this modern technology we got, this great infrastructure called America, we got toilets and they're porcelain. They clean real easy. Right? That's why you don't want to ever, you know, crochet an Afghan on your toilet seat. Right? Because it's hard to disinfect, isn't it? Yeah, you take them plastic, that porcelain, keep that thing clean, and you know what we do? Everything we eat goes and it's gone. Our house even smells good. Where's the waste at? We got a system that it leaves our house. That's why third world countries are so jacked up, by the way. They don't have infrastructure to take care of that disease and that mess. And so Jesus is making a point here in the book of Mark, and you know what he says? He says, I got news for you. Whatever goes in here leaves here. Done. It don't defile you. So look at Mark, verse 19, 20. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defiles the man. What's on the inside? That's what gets him. That's what defiles a man. It's not the alcohol that defiles him. It's actually a sin nature that he thinks that alcohol is going to fill him. And it never does because he goes in there and he gets it out in the urinal. The next morning, a cup of coffee, got a little bit of a headache, and he can go to work. That don't defile him. Don't think that, man, my biggest problem is, you know, we all got some issue. You know, some issue. You know, my biggest problem is carbs, man. It's sugar and carbs. That's my, I'm just a mess, ain't I? That's all I want to eat, 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 eat. Hey, I got news for you, sister. Your problem's not food. That's not it. You got a nature, man, a sinful fleshly nature that wants to be filled all the time. And you think you're going to be happy by eating a half a bundt cake this afternoon. It'll temporarily make you happy. And at nighttime before you go to bed, it's going down the toilet. That's what he says. That's crude talk, but that's what Jesus is saying here. It's like, don't think that it's the cake defiling you. What's really defiled is this inner behavior that you have and this attitude that you think it's going to make you happy. It'll never fill you. The liquor, the drugs, the sex, whatever it is, whatever our choice would be, the money, the bank account, that it's going to make you happy. You know how many people blow their brains out and they're multimillionaires? Look at Hollywood, man. Look at all the stars. Look at all, you really want the money? You think that's the answer? Man, if I just had more money. That's not really it. And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with having more money. You can't have more money. The bottom line, though, is Jesus lasts. This is a bread that fills and it lasts. Now, check this out, gang. I'm going to give you something. I'm going to turn this spiritual on us really quickly. Notice in verse 32, in John 6, go to verse 32. This is the bread chapter. Read the whole chapter. It talks about bread. Verse 32, he said, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gave you the true bread from heaven." See, they were making a point here. This is Israel, and they're just like, you know what's funny? Yeah, a kid brought a loaf of bread yesterday, 2 days ago, and you multiplied it, made more bread out of that bread and fed everybody. You know what Moses did when we were in the wilderness? It came down from heaven. Like almost saying Moses had something. And by the way, and he straightened him out. Jesus is like, by the way, Moses didn't bring from heaven. He didn't bring bread from heaven. God did that. And he straightened him out on all this stuff. But he was making a point that Jesus made bread from this kid's bread. That's kind of what they're thinking. And Jesus is like, I am the bread. Yeah, that manna in the Old Testament came down. He fed those people. All a picture of like God's word. And there's pictures of Jesus Christ there too. But he's just like, God wanted to give you something that would fill and that would last. It's me. I'm the bread of life. That's why he says in verse 32, guys, look at verse 32. Verily I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gave you the, what's he call the bread? True bread. Okay, let me do this for just a second. Because I like this a lot. Because if you study the word true in the Bible, you'll find out, just even in the book of John, he says, I'm the true light. Why does he say he's the true light? Because there's a false one. Why does he say I'm the true bread? Because there's a false bread. Can I give you one of the false breads he's really talking about here when it comes to religion? If any point of this message is going to offend anybody, this is going to be it. So just prepare yourself. Brustle yourself up to be offended. I don't know if this will offend you or not, but it's what the Bible says. He says, I'm the true bread. What's the false bread? Well, the false bread would be what some churches would call Holy Communion. They pray over a piece of bread, some sort of cracker, some sort of bread or wafer or loaf, and they pray and supernaturally say that they are making the loaf the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you take of the wine or the juice, that's the actual blood of Christ. And when you eat the bread, that's actually the body of Christ. They believe that. You'll find no scripture to prove that to be true. But people all the time, and you know why churches do communion every week? Because if you can convince people that this priest can pray some hocus pocus abracadabra over bread and wine, make it the body and blood of Jesus, then you want to take that. If that was the case, I'd be there every week and I'd say, I'll be here. I'm coming back next hour too. And people, give it to me. Give it to me. Well, Jesus said anything that goes in the mouth comes out in the draught. That makes absolutely no sense at all. But you know what it is? It's false bread. That's all that is. It's religion. Always leaves you feeling a little bit jacked up. I'm telling you, Jesus is the truth. Religion's what becomes false. People say, though, so I don't go to church. Man, I hate religion. I hate organized religion. Hey, dude, I'm with you. There's a lot of it that makes me sick, especially when they treat people like cattle and want to tell you everything to do and put you in the line and do this, give the right amount of money. Come to, when's the last time you've been to Holy Communion? You know, look how much does Paul talk about in the New Testament? You're going to find very few, a handful of scriptures that even talk about it. Like they put this big emphasis on it. You know what? They're just trying to get you to come back. That's all. They want you back because they know it's a business. They're going to take your money. And be careful, because you know what's next? They're going to start a school. Then they're going to get all the kids in the school. And then you're going to get a 20% discount by going to Holy Communion. You know, it's a system. It's not even something that's biblical. I just wanted to. So I'm done offending you over that point. So if you're offended, you're offended. I hope you're offended by truth, not by me. Jesus is true. This bread fills. This bread lasts. This bread's true. It works. I love, Terry actually last week said something. He's just like, my gosh, when people just say prayer don't work, why pray it don't work? He's like, they don't know. It absolutely freaking works. It's true. It's true. And I'm not saying every time it's turned out every single time the way I wanted it to. But guys, I got to show you something here. Watch what happens in John chapter 6. There's a lot of depth here than just saying, hey, Jesus is the bread of life. Could you please put peanut butter and jelly on it? No, he's a bread that don't go to the belly. It goes deep to the soul. It's a relationship. And he takes your sin and you find yourself filled. Even in the worst of situations, the crappiest times, you'll be like, I'm going to be okay. I've got a peace that runs inside of me now. This lasts. He says it'll last forever. It's not like you'll eat your meal and be hungry again in the morning. No, you won't want. If you grow in this and facilitate this kind of thing in Christianity, I'm telling you, you'll find out he's true. Don't look at false religion. This is the true bread, because there's false bread out there. By the way, there's so many false things in the Bible lists and calls out. It'd shock you. It'd knock your socks off if you look at, because you just think in a church, people would just say, stand up in the Bible, and some guy would say something. And most people look at it and just say, well, it's in the Bible. Yeah, but that dude is totally twisting that. That is false. What's true? What's honest? Look over at John 6. Let's go to verse 27, where he says, hey guys, labor not. Notice he uses the word labor. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but that which meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. So he tells them, hey, labor not for the bread that just going to perish, right? Don't put the emphasis on that. And then verse 28, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? I don't know if you notice this. This is real subtle, but you got to catch this. Jesus says in verse 27, hey, don't labor for that meat that perisheth. But there's a meat that lasts and endureth unto everlasting life. Watch this. Which the Son of Man shall give unto you. He'll give that to you. And then verse 20, they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Boy, they're missing it. Jesus said this is a bread that he gives. And they speak up and says they would really like to, what should we do that we might work the works of God? It's human nature to pave our own way, to work, right? This is a bread, guys, that Jesus gives. It's not self-manufactured. Listen, mankind ignores the give and they focus on the works. It's human nature. We know in discipleship, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, right? We're saved by grace through faith. It's not of works, lest mankind can boast. You know what's cool about this? Jesus takes that. They don't take the giving part. They're focusing on the works part. And watch how Jesus flips the narrative. Look at verse 28. Then said to him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God. 29, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Their works, plural, he said, The work of God is to believe in Christ. He changes their works and says, God's work was done on Mount Calvary. God's work was the resurrected Savior, man. That's what he's all pointing to here about this bread of life. You need to believe in Jesus. You know, Romans chapter 4 and verse 5 says that. Salvation belongs to him that worketh not but believeth. Salvation ain't something we do. Hey, Christians should do good things. We should be good people. But you don't do good things and we don't do works to get his attention. The work of God is Jesus. The work of God is this bread of life offered to you, me, and it's given. It's given by God the Father. Who's going to take it? This is called salvation. Isn't it beautiful? If you read Hebrews chapter 10, it's a whole chapter basically towards the beginning there where Jesus is the substitute for all of our works. He's the substitute for that. I love it. And you take of this bread, you know what he says in verse 35? He just says, you know, you'll never hunger, you'll never thirst again. Guys, Jesus Christ is the bread of life. The first I am in the book of John is I am the bread of life. This is bread that fills. It's the person of Jesus Christ. Do you know him? He fills, but then it lasts. Guys, he's true. There's a lot of false bread out there. It's false. You believe that horse crap? The fancy word for it's called marketing. We try to fancy and sexy things up so people want them and think they need them. I got a problem in my life and I need that. I'll try that. I'll do that. I'll put that in my mouth. I'll do. Yes, it works. Well, works. Skip the works. See, we ended here with saying Jesus gives what mankind always tries to get. But it can't be gotten by your efforts and your works. Do you see it? Do you see it? You know, if you want to study bread in the Bible, there's a lot of cool things on bread. There's a lot of things Jesus does. He says he'll cast nobody out if you want to come to him. If you come to him and ask, he'll accept anybody. You know, bread is everywhere in the world. All men need bread. If there's one universal food, you know what it is? It's bread. It's in every culture of the world. Every culture has a form of bread. Poor people do. Poor people can take... They get a hold of some flour. They can just put some water in it. It might not be the best tasting bread in the world, but it's in every continent and every. It suits everybody from babies down to the senile old man. It comes in many forms, doesn't it? Cakes, cookies, pies, biscuits, rolls, tortillas, loaves, all kinds of ways you can get breads. The Bible says it's like manna. It's pure. There's all kinds of beautiful things about bread in the Bible, but Jesus Christ comes along and says, here's the deal. Based upon he just fed 5,000 people miraculously, and then he comes down, he goes, guys, I got news for you. I know you're coming to be filled again. You're just going to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming and never be satisfied with that bread. But I'm the bread of life. If you know me, I'll fill you. I'll fill you, and you'll be satisfied. It's spiritual. It'll last. It lasts forever. No man can take it from you. And I'm the true bread, right? It's not going to be false bread, because that's what they try to do. You know, our flesh has all kinds of false things. But even the world, even churches, man, that's why we want people to get discipled. Hey, know the Bible. Don't be a sucker, man. Know what the Bible says, that way you ain't so gullible what anybody wants to throw out at you. But he is the true bread. And then at the very end, I love that little thing where he says, man, I give this bread. Salvation's a free gift. You don't earn it. And he says, can we work the works of God? That's what we want to do. And he's like, you skipped over the word give and you took works. That's human nature. That's what human nature does. And then he says, let me show this for you. Then he takes the word works and says, let me take these works and show you. No, this is the work. It's been done, the work of God. And that's eventually leading to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, I want to put out a salvation call today. If you're not saved today, you can meet Jesus Christ. In this form, he's just called the bread of life. He's going to give you bread that goes down, not your belly. He's going to give you bread that satisfies the soul. And now you can see there's all kinds of cool parallels here, gang. Because then we become ministers. You want other people to have bread. We come and do communion and we break bread together. That's what the church does. I like this, the word he uses here, the bread. And you trace it through the Bible. It's got all kinds of cool, represents God's word, but the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And so if you need Jesus Christ, man, he'll fill you, he'll satisfy you. Now, you got to cultivate that. You're going to have to grow in that relationship, but it's a decision you make. God is giving it today. You want the bread? Now, Christians, some of us, you got to sit back and just say, you know, my problem is I can tell I'm living in my flesh because I always want this. I always want that. I want to do this. I always think this is going to make me happy. Come on, dude. That's how lost people live. Christians don't live that way. We are satisfied in the Lord. We find our fulfillment, and this kind of bread lasts forever. Don't think he's moved. It's you and me that's moved. We're far. You just got to come near again. And some of it, if you're not going to be in God's word, which by the way is a great picture of bread. There's several, you know, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Bread. So as Christians, we know the bread of life, and you know what you do? Get in this book. We feed it every day, and all of a sudden you'll find yourself, you're going to be all right. You'll be satisfied. You'll say, that's the bread that fills, and the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't need that. That's what we were talking last week, but the devil, speak of the devil. Remember the resistance point? People just rolled over that like, I knew that. But you don't do it. You don't resist the things that deep in your mind, your heart deceives you, thinking, that will make me happy. That's going to fill me. You know what the Bible says about that? It's not going to work. Jesus, thank you for your word today. Lord, we know you're the bread of life. I want to pray for everybody in this room, Lord, that especially people that might not know you, God, they would find some real fulfillment and they could become a Christian by knowing you. And you, I love, Lord, how you told us you're the bread of life. You're the bread that, and you're giving it away. You're giving what everybody wants to get by working for it and trying to figure it out on their own. So, God, I pray for the man or woman that's lost. But I also want to pray for the Christian that we would be satisfied in you because you are the living bread of life. So thankful, Lord, that we know you. Amen.